When you think about invitations that you have received in your life, which one would you say is the greatest one that you've ever received? You know, you may look back to your childhood days and you may have received an invitation from that crush who invited you to go steady or invited you to go to prom. Maybe you received an acceptance letter or an invitation to get into the school that you had been praying and hoping to get into. Maybe you were invited, like many of us were yesterday, to the wedding of the century. Maybe you got that job offer that you had really been praying for. You know, all of us receive invitations. You know, I would probably say that the greatest invitation that I've ever received, and I mean this, and it's going to sound kind of like a churchy Sunday school answer, but it was the invitation to be your pastor. Man, looking back over these past several years, I can honestly say this is the greatest invitation that I've ever received. All of us, though, receive invitations. This morning, we are going to look at the greatest invitation that man has ever been given. And that is an invitation to come to Jesus and find rest. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 25 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 25 through 30 together. As you know, we've been walking through the book of Matthew for some time now, and just so you know, we've got a little bit longer to go. But I hope that you have enjoyed this study as much as I have preached, as I've preached through it. Read with me, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, we read this. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these sayings from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Life is better with Jesus, isn't it? Life is better with Jesus. Say that with me. Life is better with Jesus. I hope that there is not a single person in this room that questions or doubts that statement right there. Every single one of us in this room, every single person outside of the doors of this church, were created for a relationship with God the Father. So knowing that we were created for a relationship with Him, we can know that once we enter into a relationship with Him, that life is certainly better with Him. Notice our first point this morning. Our first point is this. We're going to read through Jesus' prayer again. Last week's message was a consequential message. It was a message where Jesus called down judgment upon the cities of Chorazin, upon the city of Bethsaida, and upon the city of Capernaum, and the inhabitants within those cities. These cities were blessed with the God of the universe dwelling within their borders. I mean, think about it. The God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked those streets, ate their food, taught in their synagogues. The God of the universe, Jesus Christ, as He walked this earth, He demonstrated His authority over disease, over natural disasters, over salvation, over demons, over death, over sin. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, was dwelling in the very midst of those within those cities, but they missed Him. What a shame. What a shame it would be to have Jesus in your midst for literally years and miss out on the greatest days this world has ever experienced, the day that God became man and dwelt among us. He literally dwelt among them and they missed him. And as we looked at last week, Jesus called down judgment upon those three cities, upon the inhabitants within those cities, and Jesus does what only he is able to do. He says to those inhabitants, "Woe to you. Woe is you." Translated, judgment is coming. Judgment did come. And today, all three of those cities are nothing more than a pile of rubble. Two of those cities have been excavated and they are tourist sites, but the other one has yet to be identified. Now let me share with you about our God. Yes, he did call down judgment upon those cities and the inhabitants within those cities, but God did not give up on those people. He will say this morning to all within those cities, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." The promise of judgment is there, but the grace of Jesus is here, isn't it? The promise of judgment is there, but the grace of Jesus is here, and it's made available to every single one of us in this room. For those who choose not to believe in Jesus Christ, there will be a day of judgment where they will be judged as a result of the sins that they committed here on this earth. But for the believer that has been covered by God's grace, we have this promise and this assurance that one day we will dwell in the very presence of Jesus, having been forgiven for our sins. After Jesus tells his audience that judgment is coming, he turns to God the Father and he prays. Notice this. Notice this prayer shows us that Jesus knows the Father. We read in verses 25 and 26 again. "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will.'" Many times when we see Jesus pray in Scripture, how do we see him pray? What does he generally do? He gets away from the crowds, doesn't he? He goes to a place of solitude where it's just him and the Father, and he prays. But in this instance, that is not what Jesus does. Jesus prays audibly so that everybody in proximity of him were able to understand the words that he prayed. In this prayer, we see Jesus thank the Father and he pays tribute to him as the supreme ruler of both heaven and earth. Jesus, the Son of God, makes it known to those in attendance that he knows the Father in ways that only a son can know the Father. When you and I speak of knowing someone, oftentimes we speak in ways which we indicate we know of them, but we don't really know them. You know, I will tell you this. I know of Dak Prescott, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I know that he appears to be a good guy with a great work ethic, and he was an outstanding rookie quarterback. I know of Dak Prescott, but I do not know Dak Prescott. I know my wife and children. I don't know of my wife and children. I know my wife and children. I know everything about them. I know the good, the bad, and the ugly, just like they know everything about me. Jesus did not speak in terms of knowing of God, but he spoke in terms of knowing God. He knows him as only a son can. Here is great news for every single one of us in this room. If you do not know God the Father, if you just know of God the Father this morning, you can know him. You can enter into a personal relationship with him today and become a child of God. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is John 1:12, which says, "Yet to all who received him and to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Every single one of us in this room. When we cry out to Jesus and ask Him to be the Lord of our lives, and we enter into a relationship with Him, He forgives us of our sins. He removes those sins as far as the east is from the west. And in that instant, we become a child of God, where we no longer know of God, but we can know God. We can know Him in an intimate way. Within Jesus' prayer, He prays some confusing words. He said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." Why would Jesus pray that prayer? What has been hidden from some and revealed to others? Notice the Greek word wise. This word means the learned, the well-educated, the scholarly, the well-informed. Does that mean, because Jesus says that these things have been hidden from the wise, from the intellectual elite, that they are not going to enter into a relationship with God the Father? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Jesus is referring to the religious leaders here, the scholars of His day, the Pharisees and the scribes, these men who had studied the Scripture and taught the Scripture all of their lives, these men who had the very living Scripture dwelling in their midst, missed out on the Messiah. They missed Him. They had this preconceived idea of what the Messiah would look like and what the Messiah would do, that when He was in their midst, they absolutely missed Him. Some of the smartest men and women that have ever walked the face of this earth are absolutely brilliant, but they have very little common sense. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them. Albert Einstein, one of the most brilliant men to ever walk this earth. One evening, the story is told of Einstein as he sat deep in thought aboard the train that brought him home every single day. The porter approached him to collect his train ticket. Einstein rummaged through his coat, rummaged through his pants, looked in his shirt pocket, looked all throughout every piece of literature that he had with him, and he could not find that ticket. The porter, noticing that he was becoming agitated, said, "Dr. Einstein, I know you ride this train every single day. I can collect from you tomorrow." Einstein replied, "That's fine for you, young man, but how am I supposed to know where to get off the train without my ticket?" I mean, this was an absolutely brilliant man, but he did not know where his train stop was. How could someone so smart be so clueless? The same could be said of the religious leaders of Jesus' day. The same can be said of some of the most intellectual minds that are on our planet today. The Messiah is making Himself known to each and every one of them, as He has made it known to us, but yet they have chose not to believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus also prayed this. He thanked the Lord that these things had been hidden from the wise, but revealed them to the little children. What do we know about little children? They're helpless, aren't they? They can do nothing on their own. They're completely dependent upon other people. That is to whom the gospel is made available to. It is made available to us helpless people who recognize that we can do nothing on our own. We need Jesus to guide us and direct us, because we were created for a relationship with Him. And when Jesus is the Lord of our life, He will guide us and direct our paths all of the days of our lives. Notice also that Jesus reveals the Father to us. In verse 27, we read, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." In Matthew 28, Jesus made this declaration before he ascended to assume his rightful place next to the Father. He said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Notice that Jesus did not say that some things have been handed over to me. Some authority has been given to me. He didn't say that, did he? He said all things and all authority has been given to me. Jesus came to reconcile this broken world to God the Father. He came to provide a way that all men, all women, all children, all students can enter into a relationship with him, thus declaring that he is the only way to the Father. This world likes to tell us there are multiple ways to heaven, don't they? There are multiple avenues that lead to heaven. All religions lead to the same God. I want you to know right now that is so far from the truth. Jesus made this declaration in John 14, 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." There is but one way, and Jesus came and made that way abundantly clear. Do you know Jesus this morning? If you were to die today, do you know for certain where you would spend eternity? I want you to know you can search under every rock, amongst every corner of this planet, and seek out every religion known to man. But you will be left asking questions in the end, because there is only one way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Notice our second point this morning. Notice the invitation that Jesus offers to this rebellious crowd on this particular day. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Notice Jesus' invitation is to come to him. This invitation to come is an invitation to trust Jesus personally, to come to him by faith. Jesus made this invitation to everybody that was within earshot of his voice, and subsequently he made it to each and every one of us as well. This was an invitation that Jesus offered to everyone. He offered it to the religious leaders who were imposing unbelievable burdens upon the people. It was an invitation that was offered to the rebellious people within the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. It was an invitation given to the children, an invitation that was given to the tax collectors, to the fishermen, to the lawyers, to the doctors. It was an invitation that was given to all. The gospel is not exclusive. It has been made available. It has not been made available to some and hidden from others. It has been made available to all, for everyone to come and enter into a relationship with God the Father. Not only does he invite us to come, but he also invites us to leave. Notice this invitation to leave. We read, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All who are labor and are heavy laden refers to those who were oppressed by the burdens of religious legalism that was imposed upon them by the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders. When Jesus looked out over the crowd that day, you know what Jesus saw? Jesus saw a bunch of tired people. He saw a bunch of people that were guilt-ridden. He saw people that were shameful of their lives because they were unable to live up to the expectations that were imposed upon them. He saw people who were embarrassed because of their sin. You know, oftentimes, all of us get tired, don't we? We all get tired. Man, I will tell you right now that, man, this has been a tiring summer for me, for my family, as I know it has been for many of you. You know, it's hard to, you know, go on mission trips, to do camps, and to also move. You know, there are some tired things that happen in our lives, but all of us get tired. These people had lived all of their lives trying to live up to a standard that was prescribed upon them by the religious leaders. They not only imposed upon them the Ten Commandments, but also the other 600 plus Mosaic laws, but also these religious leaders had created their own civil laws and their own religious laws, and they had also imposed them upon the people as well. This system was unattainable. And the Pharisees knew it, the people knew it, and most importantly, you know who knew it? It was Jesus knew it. So he offered up to all of those in attendance that day and subsequently to each and every one of us in this room an invitation to cast our burdens down at his feet. Come to me, Jesus said, all who labor and are heavy laden. Some of you are tired. Man, some of you are just beat down. There's an invitation that has been given to each of us to come to Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, notice it is an invitation to find. What is it that Jesus provides us? Jesus said, I will give you rest. There is an invitation to find rest. Some of you in this room this morning need that very thing. You need rest. You have been trying to do everything on your own. You've been trying to raise your family on your own. You have been trying to financially support your family on your own. You have been trying to do critical work projects on your own. You have been trying to do everything on your own. Know this, you don't have to do everything on your own. The reason that we are a part of Friendship Baptist Church, the reason that we are a faith family that comes together week in and week out is so that we can gain the support of one another and lean upon one another and realize that we don't have to do this thing called life on our own. You don't have to do it on your own. Not only do you have Jesus in which you can find rest in, but you have your faith family that can come around you to support you, encourage you, and help you as you go throughout this life. David Letterman used to have a spot on his show called Stupid Human Tricks. You know, that was one of my favorite segments that he would do on his show. There was one instance in which there was this gentleman that came out that attempted to balance or to spin 12 or 10 balls on his body. He gets all 10 of those balls going, and he puts one on his feet, he puts them on his knees, he puts them on his stomach, he put them on his head, he put them on his elbow. He got 9 of those balls going perfectly. And when he went and took that 10th ball and he began to spin that ball got away from him and shot across the stage. And when that ball shot across the stage, all the other 9 balls subsequently fell off of his body. You know, sometimes that's how life is. We try to spin 10 different balls at a time, or we try to spin a bunch of different plates at a time, or we try to do a ton of different things on our own. And guess what happens? A lot of times we can't do any of them well because we try to depend on ourselves to do them. Life is hard sometimes. Sometimes in life we have to admit that we cannot do everything on our own. Jesus wants you to know that you don't have to do it on your own. You can find rest in him today. Notice our final point this morning. It's this: Jesus' promise. Jesus said, in verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I think it's interesting that Jesus would tell those in attendance that day to take this heavy, burdensome yoke and place it upon themselves. He has just instructed them what? To lay down their burdens, to lay down their weights, to lay down all of the things that the religious leaders have been imposing upon them. And now Jesus turns around and he tells those in attendance that day, he says, take my yoke upon yourselves and learn from me. First thing that we need to understand is, what is this yoke that Jesus is talking about? First of all, a yoke was this heavy wooden collar that would be placed upon two animals. And what this, what the person would do is they would place this yoke on these two wild animals so that they could be brought under the control of the master. Well, when Jesus speaks of a yoke, he is not talking about us taking this heavy collar and placing it upon ourselves. What Jesus is actually talking about is he is talking about taking his yoke, which was his form of teaching, upon themselves. He was telling them to take his teaching and his instructions upon themselves and to learn from him. Every Jew had a religious leader that was responsible for guiding them and leading them and shepherding them. The person who sat under a Pharisee would have been yoked to that Pharisee. They would have been tied to that Pharisee. They would have been obligated to learn from that Pharisee, be taught by that Pharisee, and do what that Pharisee instructed them to do. And so the Pharisees imposed so many things upon the people that they were literally left heavy laden and weighted down. And so Jesus comes and he tells them, take my yoke upon yourselves and learn from me. Because his yoke is not heavy. It is not burdensome. It does not weigh one down. It is light and it is easy. With Jesus's yoke, there is a promise to learn. A disciple is a learner. That is what disciple means. Jesus' invitation to all of us is an invitation to come unto him and learn properly. Jesus promises us that if we will sit under his teaching, we will be able to understand it. It will not be burdensome. It will not be heavy, it will be easy and light. If we are going to be followers of Jesus, then we must be committed learners of his. We must be committed to sitting under his teaching, under his lordship, and under his word on a daily basis. Let me ask you a question this morning. How well did you do that this past week? Outside of Sunday morning growth groups and outside of Sunday morning worship, how well did you sit under the lordship of Jesus? How well did you sit under his teaching and under his leadership? How well did you spend, how much time did you spend in God's Word? You know, back in February, we began a 23-month reading plan. And this was a plan to help us in our discipleship. It was a plan that will help us walk through God's Word over 23 months. We'll read the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once. How well have you been doing that? You may not have committed to read through this, but you committed to do a daily quiet time with the Lord. How well are you doing with that? I'm not going to ask you this morning to raise your hand and share with me and share with one another how well you allowed God to invest in you this week as you read through His Word. I'm not going to do that. But understand this, as a disciple of Jesus, we are learners. And what do learners do? Learners learn. And how can we learn if we are not sitting under Christ's lordship and investing in His Word and allowing Him to invest in us as we spend time with Him, quality time with Him through reading and through prayer? As a disciple of Jesus, we should be committed to learning more and more every single day, every single week of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus also gives us a promise of rest. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves." Those who take on the yoke of Christ, they find rest. This is not a temporary rest. This is an eternal rest. It is a present rest here on earth. It is an eternal rest in heaven. It is a rest from this works-based mentality that so many religions and so many people think that they have to live up under. It is a rest from the burden of sin and guilt. When we began this morning during our welcome time, I read to you passages of Scripture from Psalm 103. There is one verse in that passage that says that Jesus takes our sin, that the Lord will take our sin and He will remove it as far as the east is from the west, and He will remember it no more. Folks, if Jesus can forget about your sins, guess what? You've got to let go of those as well. Sometimes we allow our past mistakes to weigh us down. If Jesus can forget about it, so can you, and so must you. Psalm 62:1, we read, "Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him." Has your weary soul found rest in Jesus? Our final subpoint this morning is Jesus gives us a promise of eternity. In Romans 10:13, we read, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord and commits to sit under His lordship shall be saved. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person in this room, and subsequently every single person outside of the doors of this church, are sinners. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. The consequence of our sin is death. What we deserve is eternal separation from God in a literal, real place called hell. But the greatest part of Romans 6:23 is this, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It is not a gift that we have to pay for. It is an absolutely free gift that the Lord has made available to all of us. How do we receive this gift? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you are here this morning and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, you've never repented of your sins, you've never cried out to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, this morning, during our time of invitation, I want to invite you to come and give your life over to Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus Christ has to say to every single one of us in this room. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is offering an invitation to every single one of us in this room to come to him. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I invite you to come and give your life over to him and make a commitment that you're going to live under his lordship. Some of you this morning, you're in this room and man, you're just tired. Man, you are just beat down. Know that in Jesus you can find rest this morning. You may be here this morning and the Lord is leading you to become a part of this faith family. We would love for you to come and make this your church home. I don't know what decision you need to make this morning, but in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to invite all of you to come. In closing this morning, as we started with, life is better with Jesus. And I want you to know that this morning. Life is better with Jesus. It doesn't get any better than a relationship with Jesus because every single one of us in this room were created to have a relationship with him. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, you come. Let's stand together and I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. Our worship team's going to be coming now and they're going to lead us in song, but before they come, let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. Lord Jesus, just thanking you for the promises found within your word that when we come to you, we can find rest. And so, Father, I pray this morning that if there are some in this room that have yet to give their life over to you, They have yet to surrender to your lordship. They have yet to repent of their sins. I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that you will draw them unto salvation, that you will draw them unto yourself, and that you will save them, and that you will deliver them. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, over everyone in this room. I know that in a room this size that there are many, many tired people. They are beat down by the world's system. And so, Father, I pray that this morning they will come to you and they will find rest. Lord, there may be some this morning that have been visiting this church a while, and today is the day that you're leading them to become a part of this faith family. Lord Jesus, we invite them to come to be a part of your church here. Father, just move now during our time of invitation. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If there's a decision you need to make this morning, you come. If you need to come trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you come. If you need to come this morning because the Lord is leading you to become a member of Friendship Baptist Church, you come. You come this morning. You come.